The 13th century was remembered as the time when huge expanses of Eurasia were conquered by the Mongols. Genghis Khan and his descendants captured Central, Eastern, and Western Asia, as well as Eastern Europe. The grandson of Genghis Khan, Batu Khan, murderously went through Europe, destroyed armies and territories of Ruthenia, as well as some of the Polish and Hungarian kingdoms. European rulers were concerned about the prospect of a possible Mongol conquest, so they decided to be the first to establish diplomatic contacts and better explore a potential enemy. Europeans were also interested in the Mongols as allies against the Muslim states of the Middle East. Mongolians were also seen as potential future Christians due to their religious tolerance and the decline of traditional religions. This led to the travel of the first diplomat missionaries, Giovanni di Pian del Carpine and William of Rubruck. These monks visited Western and Central Asia, but their diplomatic plans failed. Nevertheless, they brought to Europe a variety of evidence about the lands and treasures of China, Central Asia, and Persia. Their stories sparked the desire for travel of a young Venetian merchant, Marco Polo. In 1272, he set out on a journey to the east with his uncle and father, who had already had the experience of such a journey. Marco Polo visited Palestine, the Empire of Trebizond, the Transcaucasia, Baghdad, Persia, the hot deserts and harsh mountain ranges of Central Asia. He also visited the former Mongol capital of Karakorum and the residence of Kublai Khan in Chengdu. According to Marco himself, the Mongol ruler felt sympathy for the Venetian, gave him gifts, and made him his assistant and governor of the Chinese city of Yangzhou. Subsequently, Polo managed to get permission from the Mongol Khan to continue his journey. He visited the cities of southern China and Burma. Marco then boarded a ship, circled Southeast Asia, India, and returned home with a bag of spices and oriental jewelry after 20 years of wandering. His hyperbolic tales are considered by some modern historians to be a fabrication, but they are what gave medieval Europeans the idea of the fabulous riches of India and China. At the beginning of the Age of Great Discoveries, the Portuguese navigators were particularly successful. Portuguese explorers led by Vasco da Gama, Pedro Cabral, and Fernandes Lavrador opened sea routes to India, Brazil, and the Labrador Peninsula. Portugal had the highest colonization activity in South and Southeast Asia. The Portuguese first established trading posts in Calicut and Kochi, and then began building additional fortifications. Alphonse de Albuquerque was extremely proactive and violent. His first independent military expedition took place in 1507. During this expedition, the shores of the Persian Gulf were explored, and simultaneously Muscat and Ormuz were conquered. These steps were necessary to disrupt Persia's trade with India and give the Portuguese a monopoly on the European spice market. Later, Alphonse became the governor of Portuguese India and captured Calicut and Goa. The Portuguese, under his leadership, soon captured Malacca. These campaigns paved the way for further research and colonization of the Maluku Islands by the Portuguese, as well as for trade links with China and Japan. In addition, Albuquerque's activities created the Portuguese colonial empire. In the Spanish colonial empire, the idea of transporting spices to Europe across the Pacific and Atlantic oceans arose after the conquest of Central America and the Inca state. One of the first seafarers to seek a safe and convenient route from New Spain to the Maluku Islands was the cousin of Hernán Cortés, Álvaro de Saavedra Serrón. However, his expeditions faced an epidemic of scurvy, storms, and treacherous underwater currents. The greatest threat, however, was the hostile Portuguese that dominated the seas of Southeast Asia at the time. In order to gain access to the spices, King Philip II of Spain decided to seize and colonize the land. In 1564, a Spanish expedition led by Andrés de Urdaneta and Miguel López de Legazpi left the territory of present-day Mexico and reached the island of Cebu in April of the following year. There, the Spanish established a fort and a church mission, and the islands themselves were given the name Philippines in honor of the then King of Spain. The expedition subsequently split. Some of the mariners, along with Andrés de Urdaneta, returned to New Spain for reinforcements, while another colonized the island and fought Chinese pirates. Spanish conquistadors conquered the other islands of the Philippines as well, and on one of them founded the future capital of the Philippines, Manila. The voyage of Saavedra, Andrés de Urdaneta, and Legazpi allowed the Spaniards to colonize lands in Southeast Asia and put an end to the Portuguese monopoly on Asian spices. This weakened Portugal to such an extent that Spain was later able to capture it through a dynastic crisis. The two journeys of Christopher Columbus, who reached the Caribbean islands and mistook them for the coasts of China and India, revived the flow of European exploration of unknown territories. As the western and southern routes to the east were monopolized by Spain and Portugal under the terms of the Treaty of Tordesillas, English and French sailors were forced to seek other routes. In order to avoid the more powerful Spanish and Portuguese armadas in the tropical seas, the pioneers of these countries first chose the northwestern route to India and China. As in the case of Columbus, these expeditions were often led by Italians. One of these emigrants was Giovanni Caboto, a Genoese merchant and navigator. He traveled through the Middle East and even visited Mecca to learn more information about spices from Arab spice traders. In 1494, he immigrated to England, where his name sounded as John Cabot. After the discovery of Columbus, Bristol merchants, assisted by Henry VII of England, equipped an expedition led by John Cabot. On 20 May 1497, Giovanni, at the head of a small ship, Matthew, which had only 18 crew members, sailed west, trying not to go southerly of the 50 parallel. 5 weeks later, Cabot reached the northern edge of Newfoundland. He landed on the coast and declared the land the property of the King of England. John then explored the eastern shores of Newfoundland and found a huge aquatorium that had struck travelers with an enormous amount of fish. Back in England, Cabot reported the discovery of the bay rich with fish and that he had allegedly visited China. Henry VII awarded him with £10 and granted him a lifetime annual payment of £20. In early May 1498, a second expedition led by Cabot left Bristol with a fleet of 5 ships. It is believed that John died while sailing and the leadership passed to his son Sebastian. Even less is known about this expedition than the previous one. It is known from later correspondence that the English ships reached the mainland of North America in 1498 and continued their journey along its east coast far to the southwest. Sebastian Cabot returned to England in 1498. We know from Spanish sources that Cabot's second expedition was a geographical success. The map of Juan de la Cosa shows a long coastline north from Hispaniola and Cuba, and the sea aquatorium to the south from Newfoundland is marked as the sea discovered by the Englishmen. John and Sebastian Cabot's voyages under English flags began the era of English expeditions and subsequent colonization of North America. Note that as a result of contradictory information in the primary sources among historians, there is no single view of life and travel of Caboto. The Florentine navigator Amerigo Vespucci made a significant contribution to the exploration of the New World. Initially, he was organizing Christopher Columbus' third trip. He went to sea for the first time as a member of a Spanish expedition led by Alonso de Ojeda. During this voyage, the shores of South America in the Caribbean Sea were explored, as well as the north coast of Suriname and present-day Venezuela. Subsequently, Amerigo transferred to the service of King Manuel I of Portugal. During several Portuguese expeditions, Vespucci visited the coast of modern Brazil, described in detail the local geography, flora, and fauna. Only at the end of his voyage activity did Amerigo travel under his own command to the shores of South America. Vespucci was one of the first to argue that the open lands were a new part of the world, not India or China. After a wave of new discoveries by Spanish and Portuguese navigators, most geographers of the time supported this view, and at the initiative of the German cartographer Waldseemüller, this part of the world was named after Amerigo, America. In the first half of the 16th century, Francis I ascended the French throne. His conquering ambition stretched from Italy to the lands of the New World. The French king generously financed the voyages of sailors exploring the shores of America. In 1523, Francis contributed to the voyage of Giovanni di Verrazzano, a Florentine sailor who had served the French. The following year, the expedition led by Verrazzano reached the shores of the present-day United States and later explored the Antilles in the Caribbean Sea. The next famous French explorer of that time became Jacques Cartier, who during his first voyage explored Newfoundland and the shores of St. Lawrence Bay. The objective of the French navigators was to discover the northeastern route to China, as well as to search for gold and other jewels. During this trip, the French travelers established trade contacts with the local Indians, the Mi'kmaq and the Beothuk, and Cartier proclaimed the lands to be the property of the French king. In addition, the French captured and brought home the sons of a chief of a coastal Iroquois tribe. On his second voyage to North America, Cartier sailed with three ships of 110 crew. He also took two captive Native Americans captured during his first journey. They served as his guides and interpreters. The expedition took place along the St. Lawrence River, exploring its coasts and islands. Jacques Cartier visited the Iroquois village of Stadacona and explored the island, which he named Montreal. In addition, the French met a village of Native Americans, which Cartier asked what was the name of the land. Local residents, due to the language barrier, did not quite understand the questions and answered Kanata, which in their language meant village. French colonists fixed that name for the whole territory of the future Canada. Cartier spent the winter in Stadacona, where many of his people fell ill with scurvy. They recovered when the Native Americans advised them to drink jam from pine needles and bark of coniferous trees, which contained vitamin C. Cartier returned to France in May 1536, taking with him several Iroquois. The purpose of Cartier's third voyage was to establish a French colony, so its composition was larger. 5 ships, and according to some sources, almost 800 people. The French managed to found the colony of Charlesbourg Royal near the modern city of Quebec. They collected local gemstones. The colonists thought that they had found gold and diamonds, but it appeared that they mistook deposits of pyrite and quartz for them. Due to the harsh winter, scurvy, and regular conflicts with the Iroquois, the French were unable to establish themselves for long, so the settlement soon fell into decline. The voyages of Verrazzano and Cartier led to further French colonization of future eastern Canada and some of the islands of the Caribbean Sea. In the 18th century, all parts of the world were engulfed in rampant British expansion, which would have been impossible without the voyages of pioneers. The most prominent navigator at the time was the son of an impoverished farmer, and the future victim of Aboriginal extravagant gastronomic preferences, James Cook. In 1768, Lieutenant James Cook, at the head of the ship Endeavour, began the first round-the-world voyage to the South Pacific. He first arrived in New Zealand and explored its coastline for more than 3 months, discovering that this was two large islands separated by a strait that was later named after him. Cook then sailed to the east coast of Australia, becoming the first European to explore that water area. James mapped the area and declared it the property of the British Crown. Cook was also the first explorer of the Great Barrier Reef, though this natural ornament resulted in hull breach and a further challenge for travelers. Cook and his team then went to Java, rounded the Cape of Good Hope, and returned home. Cook's second voyage from 1772 to 1775 was to research New Zealand and explore the southern continent of Antarctica. In January 1773, Cook became the first ever seafarer to cross the Antarctic Circle, but he never reached the coast of Antarctica. James was close enough, but refused the idea because of the large number of dangerous icebergs. Deciding that the southern continent was a fiction, Captain Cook returned and in 1774 discovered several more islands in the Pacific. Cook's third round-the-world voyage from 1776 to 1780 was to explore the Northwest Passage through the Arctic Ocean and find new sites for the colonies. James discovered several islands in the North Pacific, including Hawaii. The expedition headed north to the Bering Strait, but encountered solid ice, so it was forced back to Hawaii. There, the captain planned to spend the winter and then continue the expedition. However, James Cook died in a clash with the locals. The natives quartered his body and gave it back only after the British used force. The famous captain was buried at sea, and his expedition returned to Britain in October 1780. His travels enabled Europeans to better understand the location of Australia and the islands of Oceania, and laid the foundation for further British colonization of that part of the world.